Car, bike, or scooter, Uber and Lyft don't care how you get there as long as you use their wheels. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. On Monday, Uber announced a partnership with the electric scooter rental company Lime. Uber already owns Jump Bikes, an electric bike startup. Lyft just bought a bike rental company as well. All these moves are about creating one-stop shopping for all kinds of transportation. They're also about solving a pretty basic problem. The average cab ride is less than 3 miles. So using a car to make that trip is expensive and inefficient, especially because more cars add more traffic. Hence this new investment trend in what is sometimes called micro-mobility. Rolf Bueller is a professor of urban affairs and planning at Virginia Tech. He calls it multimodality.
So multimodality refers to the concept of the same individual using different modes of transport during a day or during a week. This means that for some trips you may drive, for other trips you may use public transport, or you may walk, or you may ride a bike. So you're not a monomodal, which would mean you use one mode for all trips, but you're multimodal, so you're using multiple modes of transport during a day or a week.
It's so funny to hear it described as a thing, since it seems like just how we live, and yet all of a sudden it is becoming this big area of investment. We've had all of this movement toward ride share and self-driving cars, and suddenly we're seeing this huge increase in investment in the U.S. in electric bike tech and e-scooters. Why do you think that's happening now?
I think we're at the cusp of a couple of revolutions in the transportation sector. Electrification is part of that, so we see that with the e-bikes and the e-scooters. At the same time, we have sort of a revolution with these shared vehicles, and then we have the advent of the autonomous vehicles. Together is sort of the beginning, what we're seeing now. This will evolve further and maybe all become one big mobility we purchase depending on the trip we want to take.
How important, you know, as you study transportation, like we were saying, there's been this big move toward different types of car-based transportation. And the sort of scooter and bike part is seen as solving this last mile problem. As cities get bigger, as the car, you know, the roads get filled up with more cars, how important is two-wheeled transportation or three-wheeled or one-wheeled?
I think we're seeing a big shift, or have seen a big shift in U.S. cities, maybe since the early 1990s, but cities start to provide more transport options. Before that, it was mainly providing for cars, car parking, bigger highways, more lanes. But over the last 20 years or so, we've seen cities provide more bike lanes and other accommodation for cyclists. And we also see that people who are moving into cities or back into cities want these options. And that's one of the reasons they move back to the city.
Right. How important will that government investment part be?
I think it's sort of a two-sided sword, because on the one hand, you need government investment and regulation. Just letting the market run its course alone may lead to adverse effects. But at the same time, you don't want to be too fast or too quick and over-regulate, because if you do that, you could stifle innovation. Government's role will be key, because most of the roadways are owned and managed by government, different levels of government, of course. But so government's involvement in this will be key.
Is the accountability also important, that this technology provides, that it is easy to know who took the scooter and the scooter knows where it was left, and you know, there's sort of this breadcrumb trail all along?
The accountability is key, especially when you look at the history of bike sharing. It started in the 1960s, 70s in the Netherlands, and originally they just had these bikes that were painted white, and they spread them all over Amsterdam, and they disappeared very quickly and were vandalized, and there was no tracking at all. You could not know who had the bike or what happened to them. And then there was a second generation in mainly in Denmark, where you had a 10 kroner coin that you put in the bike to unlock the bike. Then you could ride around and bring it back, but still no accountability. We didn't know who was on it. And then the big revolution came with these docking station-based bike share systems that are all over the US now, where you could actually track the person with a credit card and other information who had the bike. That's definitely crucial.
Rolf Buehler is a professor of urban affairs and planning at Virginia Tech. A little more on this mobility economy. The San Jose Mercury News reported this week on people who get paid to go pick up and recharge scooters overnight and how it's lucrative enough work that it's turning into a sometimes nasty turf battle in some Bay Area cities. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. We have just launched something I'm pretty excited about for all you Amazon Echo users. It helps you get smart about the economy, tech, culture, and business. All you have to do is say, "Alexa, make me smart," and you'll get a new explainer every weekday from me and Kai Rizdahl. And of course, you can always say, "Play Marketplace Tech" from any smart speaker.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.